ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jason Garcia. Welcome to Man Needs God Podcast, the podcast that brings you closer to God. Today we have a marvelous show with a fantastic guest. He's a fantastic man. Everyone knows him from the parish. He's in the choir. He bangs on things. And of course, he's one of our fourth degree knights and does a whole lot more. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Trevin Kenneth Thurman.
Nice to see you. Thank you for the invite for this cast.
Okay. I've been meaning to ask you this, and now that we got you on, I can finally ask, which name do you prefer going with, by Trevin or Kenneth?
Well, as a public school bandmaster, I was Kenneth. That was 30 years. 30 years was plenty. So now I'm a Knights of Columbus agent, so we'll go with Trevin just to keep the two lives separate.
Okay, he lives a double life. Now, tell me what you do. Being a church choir man wasn't always what you were doing. What did you do beforehand?
So, during marriage and early marriage and before kids and raising kids, I was a public school bandmaster for 30 years and retired from that career. The kids are now launched, and so it's just my wife and I now. I work for the Knights of Columbus.
Wonderful. And we're going to go further than that. You're a rock and roll guy.
Oh, yes. I still play in a rock and roll band, average of 50 gigs a year. And that's my for fun job. I've been a musician since sixth grade. And my first gig, I was 14 years old. That actually was a paying show. And so that led to let's play music for live audiences and let's get paid for it, which is super cool.
That's pretty awesome because I used to be a gig worker as well. I spent full time chasing the dream, doing comedy and magic of all things, right? And to say that you were doing 50 gigs a year.
Still.
There's magicians, photographers, other gig workers who can't get that. That translates to about a gig a week.
Yes.
That's the dream for most gig performers, is to be able to do one gig per week. Big ups to you, honestly.
It's super fun. And then I still get to play for the cathedral because that happens on Sundays.
Yes.
Rock and roll gigs are usually Friday night, Saturday night, so not a whole lot of that on Sunday morning.
So you get to rock and roll, and then you come to Mass on Sunday,
well,
and then ask for forgiveness.
The non-Catholics would say party hard on Friday night, Saturday night, and ask for forgiveness. Except we're Catholic. It's okay to dance if you're Catholic. It's okay to have libations if you're Catholic. So super cool.
One of my favorite photos that I've seen on the internet is like this meme, and it says, you know, Protestants, no drinking, and then it shows a picture of Catholics, and there's a bunch of priests blessing bar taps.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, yes, that is absolutely us. I love it, absolutely.
Everything in moderation, folks.
Exactly.
Keep it real.
We receive the blood on Christ on Sunday, so why wouldn't we receive some sort of something else on Saturday, right? So, Lent's coming. Are you prepared for Lent?
Oh, I'm prepared.
Of this recording, we're, 2.5 days away? So.
Yes. Ash Wednesday coming soon.
Ash Wednesday coming. I'm not sure when we'll air this, but remember, no meat on Wednesday. And I'm giving up everything, pretty much, food-wise. I'm not going to eat like a pig anymore, but I've been doing it right now, having fun eating like a pig, and now no more during Lent.
So my lovely wife tells me the goal shouldn't be give something up. The goal should be do something more for God and for church. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes, I have a guide I made for the cathedral, so I'll post it on the page as well. And it's basically go to Mass more, go to adoration, make sure you go to confession, which is very important during the Lenten season.
Absolutely.
Give, and it doesn't have to be to the church, just give. It can be to any charitable organization. You can also take the opportunity to go to, here in Corpus Christi, we have the Mother Teresa shelter. You can go cook meals. They always need someone to help them out. You can go to Catholic Charities. You can help them pack up things, clothes, foods, anything. So that's how you give during the Lenten season. Did I miss anything?
Oh, I think you did great.
Yeah, brother.
You did great, Brother
Jason. I'm really passionate about that because as Knights of Columbus, I'm also a knight as well.
Right.
And charity and giving, that's our thing. So.
Pillars of the Order.
Yes. One of the nice girls from the diocese communication department said, hey, I didn't know you're in the Knights. You guys are awesome. Y'all basically do all the heavy lifting for the parishes, Which is true. Whenever we need anything, we're here.
Every parish, folks. If you're not a member of the Knights, we need you.
And that's a problem. We'll move into the main, the meat of the stuff, but we do have too many men that may be a little bit older, and we're not recruiting enough young guys. You see where that problem may lie? Do you know? Maybe we have a solution.
Well, the most young folks who are open to doing work for the church, it's a commitment of time. And so the younger folks, especially if they're newly married or have young children, they're worried about making a commitment to show up to meetings and all that sort of thing. And really, we would rather just have them get into the order, even if they're only available a couple of times a year, because there's going to come a time later in life, like it did in my case, where now they have time and can help Mother Church and can participate. And it's quite a blessing to have that support group of Catholic men. And there's no reason to wait until later. We can get these young people in. And if someone were to explain, just become a member of the order and we'll plug you in when we can, that would take some of the pressure off and might get some of the younger folks in. And then, of course, once you dip your toe into the pool, now everybody wants to swim. So that's how that works.
And I try to bring some young guys in. Here at the cathedral, I'm the youngest member by far, unfortunately, but all of them tell me, I've been here since I was 18, and now we don't have any 18-year-old men joining the Knights. I think we can do better. But that also leads into some of our main topic today because I'm hitting the microphone looking for things. That goes into some of the main stuff today because we don't have enough men doing things here, not even just for the Knights. I'm talking about in the parish, helping out. Getting involved, as you say, calling, being able to come when we call upon you. The weakness of men nowadays inside of the church is hurting, but I think that in the future, maybe after some of these podcasts too, we can encourage men to get going. But the main reason why I had you here today, and you know, you are just such a phenomenal, phenomenal story to have here, because you've raised three fantabulous boys who are all wonderful, productive Catholic men, which brings me to ask you, as we talk about all things fatherhood, we're going to go to the very beginning of this. Before we get to all the good stuff there, I want you to tell me how you were raised, because, I mean, to raise the outstanding young men that you've done, you had to have had
Interesting that you say. So I have my mother to thank for my Catholic heritage, so to speak. We were joking about non-Catholics before. In my family, on my mother's side, they were very, very Southern Baptist. In Oklahoma, that's where I grew up. The kind of Southern Baptist where you're not really allowed to dance, but they did anyway. And you're not allowed to drink or smoke, but they did anyway.
So it's footloose.
And pretty much. You know, growing up, my mother was in the same situation I was. I graduated from the same high school that both of my parents went to in central Oklahoma, and I had the same English teacher that both of them had, believe it or not. And so mom, growing up Southern Baptist, she had the same experience I had. The friends that we had would party hard on Saturday and then would beg for forgiveness on Sunday morning, and it just was so disingenuous. She met a very special, fabulous priest that brought her into the Catholic Church, and she did RCIA and became Catholic, and then decided, you know, when it was time to have children, that she wanted to raise the children, my sister and I, as Catholics. On Dad's side of the family, it was a more Jehovah's Witness situation.
Uh-oh.
And at one point, my grandmother on Dad's side had to have a medical procedure of some sort, and then she was shunned by the church. And so my dad, as a young man, had decided if anybody were going to say anything negative about his mom, then we're not going to be involved in religion. And so he was not a religious man. He was a great father, but he did not participate in anything religious.
And to back up just on that, just so people know, in the Jehovah's Witness faith, you can't have like a blood transfusion.
Yeah.
You can't have a lot of these medical procedures. That's why they will shun you, because you just can't do it.
The story was told, I mean, and to hear my dad tell it years ago as a young man, well, there nobody's going to tell my mom she doesn't get into heaven. So on the positive side, Dad did not stand in the way of my mother raising me as Catholic. And really there is something to, even for adults that do the RCIA later in life, there is something to the scrutinies. There is something to becoming confirmed in the church. And for those of us who were young men who were raised Catholic, going to what we used to call CCD, religious education, we call it now, learning about the church, and then First Holy Communion, going to confession for the first time, being confirmed in the church, receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of that stuff matters. And later in life, when it would have been very easy for me to walk away from the church, that's when we lose most of our young men, as they go to college and now they're estranged from the church. And in my case, that would have been very easy, but the call was always there. And I believe that it was there, that was a gift from the Holy Spirit. And so it's just so important that the parents live their Catholic faith in view of the children, because the children are going to do what the parents do. And so in my case, Mom and Dad, you know, were married until he passed away. And so, you know, we have all of these young men that are being raised by broken families. I didn't have that experience. And I know friends that did, and it's very tough. So whatever the parents are doing, the kids see it. And so then as a father and as a husband, I couldn't be giving a bad example to the children.
Yeah, so I think I remember you saying something to the effect that you were raised like really old school Catholic, right? Did you or did you not go to Catholic school?
I didn't go to Catholic school.
You didn't go to Catholic school, but you were telling me like you learned some stuff in Latin, like real old school, tough Catholic Irish stuff.
Absolutely,
almost.
Yes. And the more that, you know, as an adult and then raising my own kids, wanting to learn more about the Catholic faith, and then being a musician for pretty much my whole life, everything that we have in music notation, a lot of what we have in music today is because the Catholic Church decided music was important. And so, you know, all of these composers that people don't really know their names, but they know their music, they were hired by Mother Church. Bach wrote for the church. And the music notation that we have today, there was a monk that came up with that so that we could write music down. So the church history was always there. And then, of course, being raised Catholic and as a young man and as a young father wanting to do a good job of raising my own kids, you know, kids ask a lot of questions, and the dad has to go figure out the answers.
They do. And so I got a question there. We see a lot of, as you said, gentlemen and the girls, they'll go to college, and especially now it's like a liberal training ground. So a lot of them just come to the conclusion that it's dumb or something, and they just like move on from the Catholic faith. But what in your eyes kept you, like what made you say, no, this is Christ is my thing. I'm going to go to Mother Church. You cannot rip my faith away. Like, what
well,
kept
in,
you?
In my particular case, it had to have been the Holy Spirit, because it wasn't my family. I moved away, went to college, and then moved away and had a job. So it wasn't family. It had to be the Holy Spirit. There was always something there. That's where I felt at home. Even to this day, and I told this to my kids over and over, even to this day, getting to go to Mass is a gift. And if I don't get to go to Mass on Sunday, then my week isn't as good. Things are not as good. I don't feel good. If I'm traveling, I want to find a church I can go to. There's Catholic churches everywhere. It doesn't matter where we travel to. I can find a church, and they all have many different Mass times. And, you know, you go on the internet, Catholic church near me. So even to this day, Mass is a gift, and that gift was important even as a young man, before marriage and kids.
Which is great, because it's every day. If you want to, you can go today. It's going to be somewhere. Here in this parish, 7 a.m., 12 p.m. If you can't make it, you're at work or whatever, you slept in late, or way too late, there's other parishes, 6 p.m. today. It's just every day. So it is such a wonderful gift, and the gift of the Eucharist that's given to us.
Folks that live in the small towns don't have quite so much choice, but we certainly have a lot of choices here in Corpus Christi, the only city in the whole world named after the body of Christ. Gotta love that. That's a gift.
It really is. It really is. So you are a musician, and you lived a little bit of the musician lifestyle. I'm going to assume not too crazy, not Led Zeppelin or AC/DC crazy. But
that was the goal, believe it or not.
Oh, no.
as a young musician in high school, I wanted to be a rock star. I did actually get to tour Europe twice on short tours.
Did you have the big band here?
The short answer is yes. The short answer is yes, for sure.
So you eventually met Mrs. Thurman, a wonderful woman, and you...
She's a gift.
My wife as well. You start having children. What happened next?
Well, so my lovely wife was raised Catholic. Her dad was a Catholic school principal. So she already had the whole Catholic thing figured out, and that was super fun. Note to young men, when you find a prospective spouse, which religion we're going to be needs to be part of the conversation. Anyway, so in our case, we were both Catholic, and so there wasn't really a confusion there. We were going to be married in the church. We were going to be married in a mass. And do all of the Catholic stuff, which was super cool.
Have a big party.
When all the children, exactly. When children are born and you get them baptized in the church, you find out very quickly, and this rang out in my lovely wife's head, this child is not yours. And so you're there having your child baptized in the church, and all of a sudden now there's this responsibility that you're given that this child is not yours. It's your job to raise this child, and you better not mess this up. And so for both of us, it was something that we took really seriously, the parenting. And it was my lovely wife first, and she took it very seriously. And then of course I had to follow suit.
You know, it's really good that both of you guys were already well into your Catholic faith, because it seems like I've been meeting a lot of wonderful couples lately, young couples at that, which is great. And it's always one of them brought the other in now, because maybe we don't have enough Catholics, but it just seems like someone gets pulled along and they go into it. They just dive in because love, which is wonderful. But
I love her.
What is this Catholic stuff? I guess I'll jump into it. Yes. So it's nice to see people who are steadfast and
Does say something for the young man who's not Catholic and the gal that he wants to marry is, and he willingly goes to these classes and does all of this work. It's just a lot of work.
My relationship, like my wife, I was a cafeteria Catholic, kind of picking what to do when I was younger, but raised real, you know, I guess you can call me cradle, but you know, fell away. But when I came back, my wife joined me.
Interesting how the women fix the men?
They really do.
Crazy how that
they
is.
They really do. Thank you, wife. So you start having your first child. So is it okay, time to get myself together, no more rock and roll?
Well, so interesting you say that. When the first baby came along, and then baby number two, baby number three, and they were all three in diapers at one point, the agreement was I was not going to be a traveling musician. So as soon as we were married, that kind of slowed down. And, you know, focus on being a new husband. And then fatherhood came very shortly thereafter. And so gigs and all of that dried up. And I was just a dad and just a public school bandmaster for a number of years. And then as the kids got a little bit older, and then the diapers go away, and right about that time, one of my students said, Mr. Thurman, you should go be in the National Drum Off at Guitar Center, and so I signed up just for fun and ended up winning it locally.
Nice.
And then they flew me to Houston for the next competition, and so then I started thinking, okay, I need to get my toe back into that pool, dip my toe in there. Like I said, you put your toe in, now you got to go swimming. And so then the gigs cranked right up, and in a very short time I was playing shows again.
And at this point, are your boys...
They're all junior high age, and things are fine.
Nice.
So
nice.
No more of the diapers and the... But yeah, when the kids were very young, I was at home sharing the diaper changing, putting baby to bed. I will say I didn't do so well on giving up coffee during pregnancy. The first baby came along, and when my wife was pregnant, I was going to give up coffee to be supportive, and that didn't last for baby number two. And by the time baby number three came, I was like, yeah, I'm having coffee, honey, so sorry.
So that's my wonderful, beautiful, and amazing wife. She is worried about the caffeine thing. So as a man who's had many of them, how much caffeine can the woman have, or is she just not supposed to have any?
It in all seriousness, and of course for the lovely ladies watching this video, it's better to lay off all of that.
Sorry.
So no caffeine, no drinking, certainly no smoking, all of that good stuff. However, on the positive side, when that happens, the kids are much healthier later in life. And so now when they're much healthier later in life, less doctor visits, less medicines and all of that sort of stuff.
Fantastic.
But the whole during the pregnancy thing is tough, and the men should attempt to give up those things in support of their wives, though in my case I only lasted for one of the three kids.
I'm assuming you brought the, like a true Catholic man, the baby's ages were 1, 2, and 3.
That's kind of how it is, right?
Yeah, so What is your, again, these are exceptional young men in the Catholic faith. So what did you do to raise these boys? How did you get them to be so dedicated and
so
fantastic?
And so who are they? Where are they? Eldest son is 21. He's deployed to a location I'm not allowed to know about.
Classified.
It's classified. He's a cavalry scout in the Army, and he is very dedicated and still goes to Mass every chance he gets, still serves on the altar every chance he gets, which is awesome.
Well, you told me his position is pretty much F around and find out, right?
Well, there's, yeah. So a middle son is a French horn player in the 8th Army Band. He's stationed in Korea, and he is now active in his parish in Korea, and they're talking about making him a knight and getting him involved in the Knights of Columbus in Korea. So that'll be interesting to
North see or south?
How that goes. Well, of course, in our case, we're the U.S.
Brought back an Asian wife yet?
Well, right now he's got a gal in the States that he's kind of sweet on.
Gotcha.
And she actually came to visit during Christmas. That was fun. And she is, interestingly enough, becoming Catholic. She's in RCIA classes as we speak. So we'll see how all of that goes. And then youngest boy is a professional ballet dancer, and he is currently in Philadelphia and is working on a contract for the coming year. He gets to attend Mass at the National Shrine of St. Rita every Sunday, and in its steps from where he lives. He lives at the Marine Club. When he was in California last year, his parish was the cathedral in California.
Nice.
So all three kids, they're on their own, and they're going to Mass on Sundays like we want them to. If they weren't, I'd be griping at them. But I don't have to gripe, so that's nice.
We'll have to put a photo of him up, of Colin, right, on the screen, because this kid is a 17-year-old baby face with the body of a young Arnold Schwarzenegger.
From
I was like,
down.
Why are you so big and buff?
He's
a not
beast.
For ballet, what are you doing? But he's just throwing the girls around.
Yeah, he likes to say that he's got the muscle that he can just muscle them up and make it look easy. I will say he does make it look easy.
Well, you know, I did that as well.
Yeah, and you
I
did give that. You
your
know
son
that
lots
works.
Of advice. I try to give him as much as I can because I lived that life for almost 15 years. So it's great to spread the information. But, man, he's going places I never did. So I pray for him.
Me
and I'm
too.
Very happy. Yeah.
Me too, for sure.
But so did they get to go to, did you send them to a Catholic school or is it just regular school? Or how did you get them?
We have the world's best kept secret in Rockport, Texas, Sacred Heart School, the best little Catholic school in all of the world. And all three kids got to go to Sacred Heart School. And it was certainly a sacrifice on the part of the parents because it's not free. Catholic school is not free. But my lovely wife and I would say worth every penny. All three boys got to be in class with Sister Shirley, God rest her soul. You have to go like that when you say Sister Shirley. She's extra special. She's close to God. So all three boys got to do that up until third and fourth grade. And then I was given a job offer and we moved to Central Texas. That's when all of the kids went into public school. But the foundation, and in our case, it was more than just a year or two. It was 3 or 4 years that each child had in Catholic school. And so part of Catholic school is Mass every Friday. They go to Mass. It's part of it. So they would go to Mass on Friday night or Friday morning as part of school. And then we go to Mass as a family on Sunday. So the attention span was locked in. And so you've got this child now that has more than the 5 seconds on the phone attention span. And it leads to really, really good academics later in life. So, you know, we gave up the coffee. We gave up the parties on Friday nights. Dad gave up the gigs. We gave up quite a bit of money sending the kids to Catholic school and really investing in doing a good job as parents. And of course now here we are later in life, it's very easy to be proud of how they turned out. Nobody ended up, you know, getting their girlfriend pregnant. Nobody wrecked the family car. You know, we skated by all of those things that parents cringe about. Well, I would say to anyone and everyone, it was because of the groundwork that was laid when the kids were very young. Do a good job as the parents and eliminate the screens and all of the crazy, eliminate all of the TV watching and all of that. And of course, Catholic school was a huge part of that as well. Though we couldn't afford Catholic school forever, we did our best for the first couple of years.
Could have done the cheat code. I know a lot of people who become teachers at the Catholic school so their kids can go free.
Yeah, in my case, that was not an option. Oh, we don't have marching band in most Catholic schools.
Oh, gotcha. So my question next is then, you had them in the Catholic school. It was private Catholic school, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I've met a bunch of people now who have gone to private or public Catholic school, and they're no longer Catholic. And if I think... One of the Catholic personalities has the joke that if I had a dollar for every person who went to Catholic school but is no longer Catholic, I can afford to send my kid to Catholic school. So even though you send them, it's almost not guaranteed, right? So I'm going to say that you really hammered home the stuff inside your home, right?
Well, that's the thing. For those who are Catholic know that in Catholic doctrine, there is the first church, the family church. That's the primary church is the home.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Catholic doctrine, we call it the domestic church. That means that what we do in our home should be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to live. So that would encompass everything that happens in the home. How do the parents interact with one another? And there are plenty of studies that are non-Catholic that would say the best gift that parents can give their kids is a committed, loving relationship between husband and wife. And you demonstrate that on a daily basis. Whether it's Catholic or not, that is a gift given to the children. So then if you have children who are going to Catholic school, but then the parents on Sunday will come over here and drop them off out at the front door, and then an hour later they drive by and pick them up. Okay, what message is that sending? Well, you go to church, but we're going to go back to the house and have another cup of coffee or sleep or whatnot. And so the groundwork laid of go to Catholic school because it's a great education, but then continue that. Is the family at Mass every Sunday? You know, Super Bowl Sunday just happened. How many Catholics weren't at Mass on Sunday because we had to get ready for the Super Bowl party? You know, there's so many instances where the world gets in the way of what we're supposed to be doing. And it's feels like a sacrifice younger in life, the sacrifice of we're going to do what we have to do to be at Mass every Sunday and to participate like we're supposed to and do all of the Catholic stuff that we're supposed to be doing. And early in life, it feels like a sacrifice, but later in life, it's still a gift. Every Mass is a gift. And that time alone with God, as silly as that sounds, is impactful. Children who are watching the parents receive that, how can they not want a piece themselves? You know, there are priests that tell the story of the young kids that watch the parents receive the body of Christ, and they're very young, and they're, I want one. Well, of course you want one, you know.
They want to be like their parents.
Exactly.
So you have to set the right example.
And that means a lot of sacrifice on my part as a young father of stuff I had to give up.
Because they're always watching.
Oh, my gosh. They're like little tape recorders. Kids are like little tape recorders. What tape recorders? Nobody knows what a tape recorder is.
They're like little
recording devices.
They're like little witnesses for the defense,
yes,
basically.
They are. I mean, everything written down.
I like to think that we, and I don't have a kid yet, but this is from what I've seen with my
friends.
Coming soon. But from what I've seen
good with... Good Catholic man.
Thank you. But with friends that I have that have raised children, and those children are no longer Catholic, and I've talked to them, and I've heard this from multiple of them, is that I don't think they have it at home, like you were talking about. It's not God at home. They were talking about they would have to go to confession in Catholic school, right? And they just don't know what to tell the priest. That tells me maybe they don't know their commandments, right? They don't know their scripture. So I think there's better things that we can be doing to raise them.
It was certainly a question in our household, even with our youngest, that the going to confession, well, I haven't done anything wrong. I'll never forget when he said, I haven't done anything wrong. What do I tell the priest? Okay, son, sit down. Let's have a discussion. Okay. And so then it's on me. I've got to teach him. Okay, did you have a situation earlier this week where you felt bad about something? You said, well, yeah, okay, so that's the thing you talk about with the priest. Okay, well, I have to understand that for myself, and I have to be willing to go to confession myself. Here, my sons, I'm going to drop them off at confession and then drive down to the grocery store and do the groceries. No, I went to confession myself. Say, hey, boys, we're going to confession.
So it's not daycare.
And my lovely wife, hey, boys, we're going to confession. And so there's the example, but you're still going to deal with the questions. My youngest, always questioning. And at one point, I remember asking Father Pete, used to be the rector here at the cathedral, Father Pete, is our son, is he okay to be confirmed because of all the questioning about church at home? And Father Pete's answer was, he's asking all the right questions.
Though, I think as long as they're asking questions, that's probably good. Because if they're bored with it or show no interest.
Well, and then there were more than one occasion where the kids go to bed and I'm saying a prayer to the Holy Spirit, please help help the boys figure it out because I'm running out of things to say.
Well, but, if there was ever maybe those times... Did you have something that you would use to continue to inspire your boys to continue? Yeah. Did you have to do that?
Example. That was it, because Colin would ask questions and then, well, why do we do this? Well, son, we're going to Mass. Get your clothes on. Let's go. And times it was tough. But if the father sets the example, and it says this in the Bible, we know it, it's part of our scripture, if the father sets the example later in life, the child will not stray far from it. My dad, though he was not a religious man, set the example of work really, really hard and sacrifice for the family. And that mattered, and it meant something to me. And so then, of course, as an older man myself now, we're looking back at how hard my dad worked and what he gave up to sacrifice for the family. Okay, well, so I've done that myself. And in my case, though Catholic, so it matters. And know for the young men that are going to be raising kids, there's going to be those times, regardless what a good job you do, where you're pulling your hair out, as you can see, pulling your hair out for you've done everything you can to try to raise this child and they're still driving you absolutely crazy. Just stay the course.
Those three boys must have been a handful because you've run out.
I am not. They drove me crazy at times.
Did the missus, how hard was it for her raising three boys?
Well, in her case, it was always the G.I. Joes and the trucks and the dirt. And, you know, and I'm sure she would love to have had some dolls and whatnot and some pink in the home. But in our case, we didn't have girls. My dad always said, God gives you what you can raise. And so apparently I wasn't fit to raise girls. Apparently not.
So. Well, that just tells you that you're going to have three wonderful daughter-in-laws eventually.
So, I don't know. The jury's out. Maybe the youngest will become a priest. He's the one that had the most questions.
Oh, hey, you never know.
I'll keep bugging him. He says no.
Shortage on priests, so maybe deacon. Who knows? So.
The Holy Spirit can be powerful, so.
So once you got to a certain point where you feel like your boys were self-sufficient, like they can do all this themselves, was there anything else further you had to do for them? Or are you just like, oof, I did it, they're doing it?
Well, so then they move out, and how active am I now that they've moved out?
And, you're just back to rock and roll now.
Well, there's back to rock and roll, but now there's teaching RCIA, there's more work for the cathedral. There's more items to be done for Mother Church. Now I'm working for the Knights of Columbus. If I didn't get more involved, because the boys knew once they moved out, my day was going to become way easier. And certainly now with retirement, and I think all three of them knew I wasn't just going to sit at home and drink beer on the back deck. And they were not surprised to find out, okay, Dad is doing this for the church. Dad is doing this for the church. And all of which I still feel like is a gift. So what example is being set now? Well, you've kids moved away. Now I've got time to give back to Mother Church. And so hopefully later in their lives, when their kids move out, they'll do the same thing.
And that's you just continuing to set an example for your boys going forward. That's great.
Well, and I could not be in the military. I have bad eyes, so I was not someone who could be in the military. But I sent two boys to the Army, you know. So maybe, you know, what I couldn't do myself, maybe I can do through my children.
You've gotten these boys raised and they're out of the house, but while you had the whole the family in the house and you're doing all this, can you speak on the role of the father within the household?
So,
in Ephesians, it gives us very strict, like we have to love our wives and we have to, you know, submit to the church. So, can you speak on all that?
That when married in Mother Church, the choices for readings that are going to be read kind of spell it out. First and foremost, loving relationship between the spouses. That's super important. And it's a lot more fun when you make a good choice. So one of the things I told the kids very young that I continue to tell them every time we talk, who you choose to marry, if that's their vocation, who they choose to marry, the most important decision that they're going to make in their lifetime, don't mess this decision up. There's lots of things that we can mess up. I certainly messed up quite a few decisions as a young man, but the choosing of a spouse, that's the really important one, because if that choice is correct and good and pleasing to God and all of that sort of stuff beyond the, oh, I love her, right? is that going to work? Are we going to be able to raise children and get along and that sort of thing? Once that's set, then when the kids come along, follow all of the rules of the church, be a good dad. Our society is all about the chasing of fun to be had. And, you know, it's within the phones. I saw this years and years ago. I went on an Acts retreat. The kids were high school age at the time. And so talked to the boys, you know, hey, Dad, you should go on that Acts retreat. Okay, so I went on the Acts retreat, and I'll never forget one of the first things that they do is they take away the phones and the watches and all of that. And I saw grown men that were emotional and crying over their phone being taken away. And we didn't even have that stuff in our house growing up. We didn't have video games and TV and phones, not because I knew they were a bad idea, but because I wasn't going to spend money on that. We were writing checks to Catholic school. And so we just made a choice as a family that we weren't going to spend time, energy, money on screens. And then about that same time, my lovely wife had read an article about screens. And so in our case, that constant distraction was not there. The constant distraction of the phone. So we got people that they can't keep their hand off of it for more than a few seconds at a time. And we're supposed to be productive parents. We're supposed to be productive in our jobs. So, you know, thinking about for young men who are going to have children someday, your vocation is family life, marriage, and kids. It's okay as a young man to not be constantly chasing fun on Saturday night and maybe work on relationship with Jesus. And that's a mistake I made. I'm a young man on my own, and I moved away from home, and I spent every Friday night and Saturday night, if it wasn't playing a show, it was out chasing fun. And, you know, I should have spent some of that time working on my relationship with the church and with Jesus. I didn't have anybody to tell me that. You know, and maybe as older men, we should be able to say to the young people, look, it's okay to not go partying this Saturday night and maybe have some quiet time at home, as crazy as that sounds.
Well, when I'm not old, but, you know, just even 10 years ago with my wife, we'd go out and we'd be out till, you know, the club closes. But now, you know, trying to become parents and having more responsibility right. In life, you can't just do that anymore. And we've kind of not completely given up going out and chasing fun, but, you know, we found wholesome fun now.
Oh, it was nuts. Yeah. It was every single weekend. How much money did I burn on crazy? And I didn't have someone, yes, I went to Mass, but I didn't have someone saying to me, you know, it's not like the TV show where you have to be out spending money, acting up all the time. And, you know, I don't know if that message would have made it if someone had given me that message, but it certainly, you know, it certainly would be a good idea for us as older Catholics to, you know, we're trying to set an example, but we should also talk about that. Be a member of the Knights and come do this, come do something with us instead of constantly spending time and money and energy on crazy on a Saturday night. Unless you're coming to one of my rock and roll shows, And then we're good. Make sure
well,
to buy.
Be there.
And if you decide that you want to buy the band around, we'd rather you just put money in the jar, just for the record.
You know, my wife and I, we found country dancing Friday nights, free dance lesson at 7:30, and we're gone before 10 o'clock. We hang out with all
Excellent.
The older folks. It's wholesome. There's no no booty music.
Yeah,
so
see,
it,
you say
wonderful.
Wholesome, and the young kids, they run away.
It's pretty true. So have you told your boys about your rock and roll life?
Oh, they've actually been to see shows. Yeah, my eldest boy, one of his first fun dates where he was on his own and he was the driver.
Oops.
And he came to see a show. We were playing a show at the Exchange, and they've got the stage, and then there's a little spot up on top where they can be upstairs and look down on the stage, and he just thought it was super cool to bring his date to see one of Dad's gigs. So that was fun. And they know, they've been to some shows, the ones that are not in the super dirty bars they've been to.
I spent a lot of my time doing comedy shows and dirty bars, and my payment was a handshake and a $50 bar tab, you know, and that's all fun and good, but what does it do for the soul, right? Is that good for you, not good for you?
There's a time to play, but there's a time to not be playing.
So did you take time to explain to your boys, like, you know, I'm chasing rock and roll, but you got to still remember Christ?
Right. Watch it so that they know, and they would tell stories if you asked them about, they can remember Dad had that really, really late gig in Kingsville at whatever the name of that place was. And by the time I got home, it was 3 a.m., and I was up at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning to get dressed to make breakfast so that we could be at Mass, because I'm supposed to sing for Alex upstairs during Mass. And so they watched it, and they knew that the rest of Sunday, Dad was going to be worthless. He was going to be asleep on the couch. But you know, they would say, well, Dad had a gig last night, and we had church this morning. So they watched. They saw. And they grew up knowing that there were some weekends where we didn't book shows and it was just going to be time at home, or we went camping, or it was, okay, we're going to fix the yard this weekend, you know.
Okay, so it sounds like, did you create, calendar or schedule with your boys? We're going to do this on this day and we're doing that on that. Like, is that something that helped out?
It's still a struggle with our oldest and our youngest, that they still think everything can be on the phone. Eldest boy has now actually started writing down on paper, which is good. And middle son is all about that plan. The youngest boy, it's still, I ought to put it on the phone. And we're still trying to teach them, no, have a paper calendar and write down the plan. My wife would put the family plan sheet on the refrigerator of the week. And it would have who's going where and what we're doing, and Dad has a gig tonight or not. And, you know, and of course, some of this was going on when I was still a public school bandmaster. So there was a Monday night marching rehearsal. Tuesday night, everybody was home. But Wednesday was dance night. And then Thursday, there was something going on, you know. And so if we did not plan that stuff out, something was going to be missed. And so they grew up knowing there was a plan sheet on the refrigerator. Go read it so that you know what's coming. And if my wife hadn't figured that out and posted that up, man, there would have been all kinds of things missed. And to this day, I keep a paper calendar. And so what are we doing? We'll open the book and see what's going on so that we can plan it out.
I want your planner. You told me it's only for Knights of Columbus.
Yeah, it's only for
Columbus.
Knights of Columbus. You want a Knights of Columbus
so
planner.
It's so good.
I'll
miss you. You're going to have to look at his planner calendar. It's really nice. It's something that I need to find something in real life for it. But we're going to go ahead and take that moment. We're going to take a little pause. I want to remind everyone, please, if you are enjoying this podcast and if you're finding it a blessing, go down there. Hit the subscribe button, like this video, and share it with anyone who you think can use this advice, whether it's for parenting, whether it's for themselves trying to find themselves within the church. Please share this content. Give the gift of God to someone. Because remember, gentlemen, we are fishers of men, and all things are possible through him. Okay, so I wanted to ask you next, let's say, for someone like me, I have my first child, which hopefully will be at the end of the year, next year somewhere.
Attaboy.
What do I do? Like, what's the first steps I should take as a brand new Catholic father?
So, first of all, you have to figure out getting the child from the hospital.
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
My lovely wife tells a story of that she had to write a check before they would let her leave the hospital.
Oof.
And so there's that. B, have the money figured out. And then something that really weighs on the mother, at least it did in our case, that, okay, so the baby is born, and they wheel the mother down in a wheelchair, and the dad is supposed to bring the car around, and they hand you this baby, and they're like, all right, off you go, see ya. And so then you get in the car, and now you've got this baby, and he's like, what are we supposed to do now?
Wow, there's no instruction manual.
Exactly. And there are so many good books, what to expect when you were expecting and all of that sort of stuff. And there's a really good book that my wife has that talks about the nutrition. Okay, so then you've got to talk about the breastfeeding or not. That's a huge topic for people these days. And all of the science tells us that breastfeeding is so vastly healthier for the baby than baby formula. And though in our case, all three boys, as they got older, we had to supplement with formula because they were hungry all the dadgum time. They're still hungry all the dadgum time.
Well, Colin was over there soaking up all the protein.
So there's that. But so there's that. Discussions with the wife about are we going to nurse the children or not. And then I was saying my wife has a book that talks about how to properly introduce foods, when and in which order. And we never had allergies or food, you know, weird foods they couldn't eat or any of that. All three boys, that when we went to the doctor, it was for a well baby checkup and that was it. And I know that had to do with the fact that my wife nursed them significantly. And, you know, by the time they were, you know, age one, we were already on solid foods, but introduced in a particular order so that food allergies didn't exist. And the boys just ate all the time and it was so nice. And we didn't spend money at the doctor all the time. And so those are discussions to be had, to be talked about. And then of course, as the father, how are you going to figure out the sleeping? Because the baby is going to be awake and somebody's got to take care of the baby. And, you know, for the young man, don't be afraid to change a diaper. It's not that big a deal.
Not just the lady's job.
It's not that big a deal.
So did you guys make your own baby food or kind of just pick up stuff?
The short answer is yes. When introducing the solid foods, at one point we would take ice cube trays and we would puree whatever my wife and I had for dinner, and we would put those in little ice cube trays and freeze them, and then when it was time to feed the baby, get out one cube of this and one cube of this and heat it up, and that was the baby food.
That's brilliant.
It's awesome. And that came from that book that my wife has.
We're going to have to borrow that book.
Yeah, it's a great, and I wish I could just rattle it off. First Foods, I think is what it's called, and who knows if it's even still available. But
well, get the name to me, and I'll post it in the description down below.
But it introduces foods in the right order and talks about how to do that. So the one time, you know, and I'm not picking on, you know, baby food companies, a particular name of baby food was given, or it was a free gift at the grocery store or something. Anyway, we had this jar of baby food and we happened to be traveling. We thought, you know, honey, let's try this and just see. And baby didn't want it. And dad tasted it and went, oh my gosh, it's horrible. And then mom tasted it and went, why would somebody feed that to a child? You know, and so... Yes, it's a lot of work. Raising the kids is a lot of work. But when you do the ice cube trays and eat real foods, you know, at one point, my wife and I decided we wanted red beans and rice. And so we had our red beans and rice, and then we pureed that in little cubes. And so here the kids at age 2 and a half is eating a cube of red beans and rice, corned beef and cabbage, you know, real food, but in little cubes. Anyway, no preservatives, no chemicals. And the fact that they didn't have preservatives and chemicals and stuff all the time, I think led to health later on. We didn't go to the doctor all the time. When someone had the sniffles, we drank some water and went to bed. And there's just, you know, friends of ours, even to this day, friends of ours, where there's somebody is sick all the time. Somebody has the sniffles all the time. And it's just like there are ways to not have that. Yes, it's work up front to make your own food, to cook at home, to eliminate preservatives and all that. Yes, it's a lot of work, but there's a lot of benefits that come with it that, you know, they don't seem all that tangible at first, but it's pretty nice. And we're at the point now, you know, in our own home, better than restaurant quality food nice. All the time, just because we know how to cook and it's good.
Do you think that did this help not get picky eaters?
Yeah, they don't. They were not picky. They were eating everything.
That's important. And, you know, so you're 30 years old eating chicken tenders at a restaurant.
Yeah. See, two of the three are now literally overseas and are having to learn to eat new things. And middle son is in South Korea, and they like kimchi and Korean barbecue, and you know he's naming some of the things that are available in the Asian market there. The pumelos and, you know, stuff that if I were to hold one up, people wouldn't know what it is. You know, a monk fruit. You hold up a monk fruit, nobody knows what that is, or a jackfruit, you know. And so they're literally having to learn how to eat stuff. And, of course, eldest son, who's in an undisclosed location, you know, who knows what he's going to be eating. So I think they're not going to know that they're okay with it because mom and dad worked so hard with the ice cube trays. When the grandkids come along, we're going to have a family meeting and talk about ice cube trays.
Fantastic information you're giving here. Wife, make sure you write all of this down. But now it's history. It's permanent now. It's going to be on the internet. But I do want to thank you for all of the wonderful knowledge you dropped on us. We have basically run out of time. However, we're going to pick this back up on some other Catholic men topics pretty soon. Finding a wife and all the good stuff. So that's going to be very soon. We'll probably do a series on stuff like that because men, we have to be a good Catholic man, we have to find a good Catholic wife. And we're going to go through all of that. So before we get out of here, I'd like to ask everyone, what's your favorite Bible verse? Puts them on the spot.
That's a good one. So the women carrying the spices they had prepared made it to the tomb. They went inside and they didn't find the body of Jesus. And then men in dazzling garments stood before them and said, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" And that's my favorite verses from Gospel of Luke. That question, why do you seek the living one among the dead? And what would that have been like to be standing in the tomb and to have the men with the dazzling white garments say, "Why do you seek Jesus here? Do you not remember that he told you I would rise again?" You know, what would that be like to be there?
That's beautiful. That is a good verse. That's very good. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. But I would like to ask you, sir, please lead us in a prayer.
Oh, do you want me to go all Latin?
Oh, you we're not supposed to. But what you can do is you can, you know, any English is fine.
We'll do the Anima Christi, but we'll do it in English that everyone, and you can look up the Latin. But I'll do the sign of the cross in Latin.
Okay.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. Good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Never let me be parted from you. From the malicious enemy, defend me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to you, that with all your saints I may praise you throughout all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
It's been wonderful having you.
Thank you so much for the invite.
Thank you for educating me, and that's what happens when we're close to the hospital. We'll pull out the sirens in post. But again, for Mr. Trevin Kenneth Thurman and for the entire crew, we want to thank everyone for tuning in, listening to some of the best advice you're ever going to hear on Catholic parenting.
Young men, pay attention. I wish someone had taught me.
Young men, pay attention. Again, if you found this to be a blessing, please share this. Share this with your friends and your family. Get the knowledge of Christ and parenting in a Catholic lifestyle to everyone. Like, share, subscribe. Don't forget to check the description down below for the special on Audible. And we're going to see you guys on the next podcast. Thank you so much, guys. God bless.